Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. The word Yogeshwara is applicable to both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his devotees also. In Bhagavad Gita, this word occurs in two places. In the 18th chapter, 1878, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the master of all mystic power, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yogeshwara is also described at the end of the 6th chapter, 6:47, Same Yuktatamo Mataha. This Yuktatamaha indicates the topmost of all this verse indicates the topmost of all yogis, the devotees, who can also be called Yogeshwara. In this verse, Yogeshwara Upasanaha means to render service to a pure devotee. Thus Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtaya Pajachakeva. Without serving a pure devotee, one cannot advance in spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj also has said, Naishang Matista Varuru Kramangrim Shprisyat Yanato Pashama Yarata Mahiya Sampara Tajobhishekam Nishkin Chananam Navini Tajavat. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world, but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended, Yogeshwara Upasana, that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. In Bhagavad Gita 7:28, it is also said that without being pious, one cannot engage in devotional service. Yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam punyakarmanam te dvantva moha nirmukta bhajanti mang dridha vrataha. To become fixed in devotional service, one has to become completely cleansed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. For work in devotional service, the first item is Guru Vashrayam. One should accept the bona fide spiritual master and from the bona fide spiritual master inquire about one's transcendental occupational duties, such as Hanuma Pritcha, and follow in the footsteps of great saintly persons and devotees, Sadhu Marga Anugamanam. These are the instructions given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Du sag mal, Jayadev, der Martin aus Berlin ist schon, der ist schon gegangen? Ach so, er ist direkt hier. Ich habe noch was ganz Wichtiges für dich zu geben, also nach der Lecture. Gut. Gut. Sorry. Mama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Srivatsari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare you please have to excuse me. Everything is coming in gear in 1 minute. I just need one more verse. Do you remember we had this? Aha, here it is. That's not it. Do you remember the verse which we were chanting at Nityananda's appearance day, where this was? Where it was? It was something 7 and... No? Maybe 25, I think 7:25, actually. That was a good idea, a good speculation. Excuse me? Let me see, maybe I have this thing here. What did you say? Ja, das stimmt. Ich glaube 7:15:45 muss so sein. Yes, it is. Danke. Please forgive me. One is only... Yes. All right, we have it. Yes. So let us please read the verse again. Attachment to the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. In this verse, again, it is described how to increase our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This really is the essence of sadhan bhakti, or devotional service according to the rules which are given by Shastra and by Guru. The end result which we want to achieve is attachment to Krishna. All love. Then this love of Godhead in this world becomes directed towards human beings, it becomes lust. If it becomes directed towards money, it becomes greed. And if it becomes directed towards the poor, it becomes compassion. But originally, all these types of attachment or an affectionate affection is in its ultimate root stage, love of Krishna. And now it's interesting that if the love of Krishna is, so to say, permutated, also umgewandelt, for instance, into lust, it becomes a source of bondage. Whereas if it becomes again brought back to its original state, that is pure love of Godhead, it becomes a source of not only liberation. Liberation is only a side effect. It becomes a source of unending joy. So according to existential psychology, the need for joy is or the attempt to attain pleasure in this world is even there in the gross materialist, what to speak in a refined human being. A refined human being will make all kinds of arrangements to avoid that which causes distress, and on the positive, make arrangements so that he is becomes happy. However, unless this secret is known, that our love is freed from lust and greed and even compassion, then it is not applied in Krishna consciousness, this love will be bound, and we will be prisoners. This has to be really learned. This is a secret. A human being tries to become happy, but he doesn't understand the secrets of befreite Liebe, of liberated love. It's nice to hear this in German. In Germany, they have the idea, or in German language, freie Liebe. That means love to everyone and without the Victorian restrictions. That doesn't work. It must be liberated love, not free love. So today, this verse describes how to do that, and it's rather interesting that this verse gives us an insight into our subject today, a very, very deep subject. Rather, the verse is a subject. A few days ago, we started a lecture which we had to end in the middle because we couldn't possibly cover all the subjects. We lectured on the verse Manmana Bhava Mat Bhakto Majajim Mang Namaskuru. We could only explain really the verse, the first line of the verse, that's Manmana. Think of me always. Like we find here, the devotee who wants to increase his attachment, he will start to inquire about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will want to know more about him so that he can more manmana bhava mat bhakto, he can more think of Krishna. We were describing in the verse, the explanation of the verse, how difficult it is to think of Krishna. As we start the lecture, we even notice how difficult it is for you to even concentrate on the lecture. You are fighting with a restless mind, which is especially restless due to the lack of sleep, and so on and so forth. Ich muss dir auch noch was sagen, ganz kurz. So, even the lecturer has to fight with his mind. I just saw Vilas Vigraha, and I remember who he had invited me, and then I couldn't come and couldn't even phone him. I had to run to a conference, and in this way, even my mind is not yet fully in tune. It's a slow start today. We were saying that manmana, to think of Krishna, is difficult if you have to force the mind into a subject. But if you have developed a certain attachment, then it is very easy to think of that which you are attached. We were talking about this. So this verse really describes how to increase the attachment to Krishna, how to do it. So that we can think of Krishna. It means we must first of all inquire about Krishna. What? Who is he? What does he do? What are his friends? What is his abode? This can be learned from literature like Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishnadas Kaviraj describes very, very vividly the spiritual world. But just inquiring will not be of any use. You know, there are disciples of all spiritual masters who just inquire, but nothing happens in their life. So the next stage is we must apply what we have heard. Mm-hmm. Apply bhakti yoga in life. Then we must worship the Yogeshwara, which can mean Krishna or the pure devotee. And we must hear a chant about Krishna. So if we do this, then the end result will, we will liberate our love. It won't be rotting our love in the fetters of lusty desires or compassion or in a mundane sense. A devotee is compassionate for the soul, but not so much for the mind and the body. Greed will be liberated from greed. So, okay, so this is the first part. Mana bhava mat bhakto, which is explained. Now we want to come to the second part. As Prabhupada said, anyone who adopts these four activities, which are given in this 18th chapter, verse 65 in Bhagavad Gita, he will surely reside in the kingdom of God. Now, the second point is, after we have thinking about Krishna, we can really become his devotee. A devotee is a personality who thinks of Krishna. There are in Harinam Chintamani, it is described that there are two features of a devotee. The first feature we have to look for is he attached to Krishna? Only on the second glance we should look at his moral principles or his ethical concerns all right. Because if he is attached to Krishna, the moral things or the secondary things, so to say, the social platform is automatically taken care of. Now, have you ever thought of becoming a devotee of Krishna? Not in dress, but in mind. Maybe not so recently. Maybe it's a new concept, so we will... I'm sorry to say this, but we have to wake up everyone, and this is done by interesting formulations. Now, we face one difficulty, which is described in the Katha Upanishad, when we want to become a devotee of Krishna. And this is described in the following verse. Atmanam ratinam vidhi shariram ratam evacha budhim tu saratim vidhi mana pragraham evacha indriyani hayan ahur vishayangsteshu gocharan so dvana paramapnoti tad vishno paramang padam. The soul is the occupant of the chariot of the body, of which the driver is the intelligence. The mind is the determination to reach the destination. The senses are the horses. And the sense objects are also included in that activity. Thus, one can reach the destination, Vishnu, who is Paramang Padam, the supreme goal of life. In conditioned life, the consciousness in the body is the cause of bondage. But the same consciousness, when transformed into Krishna consciousness, becomes the cause for one's returning home back to Godhead. For those of you who would like to read this very important verse, please refer to the 7th canto, chapter 15, text 41. Here it is described how we can reach a destination. I think if we asked all the devotees what they want, they will say Krishna. But do we always know how to get to Krishna? what to do now, what to do the minute after now, what to do the hour after now, what to do the year after now. Well, first of all, we have to understand how we work. This is very nicely explained in this verse. We have a body which is like a chariot which can bring us to the destination. We have the horses, these are the senses, and we have the mind and the intelligence, which are the charioteers. Now, the most important thing, if you want to drive a chariot, you have to know how to work it. Just a little while ago, we were outside. A while ago means to one day. We came and there was one ox cart. And, no, nicht gezogen. The ox cart was standing there. It was not drawn. And there were these two oxen, and the driver was trying to get them going. But, you know, oxen are... Have their own ideas where to go, and they very rarely correspond to the ideas of the chariot driver. Extreme is a very rare thing. In the same way, horses. Horses is a funny thing. There is Dieter somewhere. Is Dieter here? Yes, Dieter is a very experienced horseman. He can. He's able to drive on the, to go on the wildest horse and not be shaken off, and he can train it. He's a horse trainer, race horse trainer. And so, in the beginning, when the horse comes to you, it is highly uncooperative. It is not very communicative, in fact. And I was, you know, I visited Dieter a few weeks ago, and I wanted to learn about this example, so I asked, can't you put me on a horse, just, you know, I have to just see this, I'm lecturing so much about it, and so he put me on his best horse, you know, who can jump easily 5 meters, I don't know, 5 meters may be too high, wie hoch springen die Dieter? 2. Wie hoch springen die Pferde? 2 Meter, okay. 2,10 Meter? 2,36 Meter, good. So I was sitting on that horse and I was trying to, you know, make a peaceful atmosphere and, you know, please don't shake me off, and I'm not so experienced, but I'm a good-hearted human being. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, and you know, the horse just found out I was not very experienced and didn't have full control over it, and all of a sudden it just jumped, and I mean, I was before many times on horses when I was not in Krishna consciousness, and I had I knew that the horse would do this after checking me out, but I couldn't. He just couldn't get me off the back. But I noticed only if you have a very strong mind and you are able to, you know, say, listen, I'm now in control, you please follow, or it won't be very pleasant, the time which we spend together. If you have to make that vibration, otherwise they just will, you know, they just want to get you off the back, because why should they carry you? You know, they also have some dignity, and so on. So this is a very good example. If you want to actually be victorious in your journey back home, back to Godhead, you have to make the senses and the cooperative. You have to make the chariot go your way, not his, the way of the horses. And that is only possible if you strengthen the mind by intelligence. If you do not, this is very nicely explained, the mind is the determination to reach the destination. This is, you have to be determined in that mind, fix it once and for all, otherwise the horses will just throw you off, and you will land somewhere and with broken limbs crying to the rest of your life and just thinking, oh, I'm so weak, and so on. This is an important thing. So if you want to become a devotee of Krishna, if you want to go to Krishna, this is where you really have to start. You have to make the mind cooperative. Because if the mind has not understood what you're trying to do, if you don't fix determination, then the mind and we can also include the intelligence, then in your life you will be shaken off one day. You will land in some ditch. And please don't say this is overly strong. Why is he talking so strongly this morning? After all, we have not eaten anything as of yet. Please, there is a statistical number in our society that there are a shocking large percentage, leaves the process of Krishna consciousness. There, the horses just bling, just have thrown them in some ditch. We can't ignore these figures. So now, as you go in your chariot towards the goal to Krishna, you have to use a road, and on the road there are usually some highway robbers. This is described in Mana Shiksha by Raghunath Goswami, that the devotee who goes back home, back to Godhead, he has to be extremely careful of those gangsters, robbers. Lust. He comes from a bush. The bush is called under the belt. He jumps at the chariot. If you do not have your defenses there, he can jump on the chariot. Wie sagt man? Kutschenbock, the seat of the chariot, and just kick your mind in the side and say, I'm driving here. And he will make the horses wild, and then you can't pleasantly continue your journey. There are other great enemies, greed, the desire to be just recognized, very big robber. The three robbers, the main robbers are lust, greed, and avarice. Avarice heißt in Deutsch Habsucht. The desire to possess something or someone. So these highway robbers can come on your journey back home, back to Godhead, and they can just take whole possession of the mind and the intelligence, and then they will drive your chariot. That's one strong opponent. This can happen on a royal highway when it looks quite safe. We have heard from one Upanarayan about Narada Muni. Narada Muni, staunch brahmachari as he was, and strong preacher, one day came to a town where a festival was going on. He thought, oh, it's so nice, I can preach here. Then he went to the king, who received him honorably, and asked, what is the festival all about? The king said, the marriage of my daughter. Please stay and grace the festival. Oh, said Narada Muni, I'm actually not meant to stay at a marriage ceremony. No, you just stay, said the king. And you just bless my daughter. And he asked the daughter to come. So now when the daughter came and kneeled down before the feet of the saint to be blessed, Narada Muni looked at her. And then he looked at her face and he saw she had all the qualities a woman should have. Chastity, intelligence, beauty, everything. Nothing was missing. This is very attracting. After all, these ashrams are also temporary. I can just as well travel through the Grihastha ashram for a while, then take sannyas. What is the harm? If she is a very qualified woman, what is the harm? Yes, you are shocked. I see this in your faces, but it is true. It is a shastra. So he decided to take part in the Svayamvara next day. Svayamvara means the woman who wants to marry goes. There are different types of Svayamvara. This one was because she was so qualified, she could pick her own husband. So she there was a huge arena, and all the qualified princes of the world were there, who were not yet married, who wanted to marry this. And she would go with a garland, and whoever was suitable, she would go and put the garland around her. Newly had a choice, and that would be the marriage. So Narada Muni thought, I will also sit there, but if I look like a saint, I mean, no, she really won't be attracted, you know. It looks so much like renunciation. This is not the way. And he went to Rama. And he said, my dear Lord Rama, I have some short business to do. Can you just, you know, I need to look very attractive. Can you give me the face which you love the most? I need to look a little good, you know. Rama smiled and said, he knew, of course, everything. He said, of course I can give you the face I love the most. So Narada Muni next day went into the arena and sat next to two beautiful princes. I mean, they were smelling nicely, and Shminka was there, and they were just strong arms and everything. And when the princes saw him, they went like they were just laughing, you know. Narada Muni, no, is this all right? You know, sometimes if you go through the different ashramas, this is now a different phase in my life, you know. Don't, you know? He was just thinking to this. So then, the beautiful princess came by with this huge garland, and she looked. And when she looked at, when she looked at Narada Muni, she immediately went like, and went, and then came to the one great personality, and gave him the garland. Now, Narada Muni was very disappointed. This was his first attempt, and it failed so brutally, you know. And he said, why did you laugh, you know, he asked at the princess. And the princess said, have you looked at your face? Then you know. No, I think it was very good. Rama gave it to me. And he went to a mirror, and he saw he had the face of a monkey. Because Lord Rama likes Hanuman the most. He just looked like a monkey. And that's why she was not interested. What do you think now? This is mercy, isn't it? At the end, it turned out that actually the one who was marrying the princess was no one else than Vishnu. It was Leela, but it is instructive Leela. It is meant to teach us that the highway robbers cannot be underestimated. Die Räuber, die auf der Straße kommen, shouldn't be underestimated. Keine Unterschätzung, bitte. They are very strong. It happens to Vishwamitra Muni. We do not want to tell this story at length, but you know Vishwamitra Muni also. He actually had a serious fall down. Nothing happened with Narada Muni because Krishna, Lord Rama, protected his dear devotee from the highway robbers. But Narada Muni was very close to Krishna. What is the guarantee that it won't happen to little Jonas, right, in the midst of the Danish world struggling through the phases of puberty? You know, it is difficult. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has said in the key verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that if you want to become a devotee, a devotee is defined like this: Anya vilashita shunyam jnana gama janavritam bhakti anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uchate. Anya vilashita shunyam. Shunyam means void of any other desire, not tainted with karma and jnana. A devotee engages by accepting everything which is favorable in devotional service. We have to start here and end here. We have to start by understanding our situation, understanding that we are surrounded, that on our journey back home, back to Godhead, we have to fix up our determination to go there. Yesterday a devotee said to me, now I'm determined to really change my life. I looked at him because he had said it to me 50 times already. No, maybe 46 and a half times. I said, I wish you all the best. We have to fix that determination not on the mental platform, but in the intelligence as well, on the platform of intelligence, by understanding analytically how we are wasting our time in material concerns, separated miles from the process of Krishna consciousness and from acting like a devotee. A devotee is not something so cheap. He is more than Lord Brahma, more than Lord Shiva. It is described, it's rarer to become a devotee than to become a Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. It's not just you dress and then you are a devotee, and you have to make full, you have to do something. You don't become the first class man or topmost of all human beings just by dressing in a dhoti and putting a tilak on. Not so cheap. Hare Krishna. You can see already an icy wind is blowing. This is necessary to reflect. Mat bhakto. Krishna wants us to become a devotee. He is prepared to make us a devotee. But you have to be determined to become a devotee. And that must be reflected in your activities and in your jivat, in your life. Then Krishna is willing, if he only sees the attempt, we are speaking of the attempt, he doesn't want to see perfection, but if he sees the attempt, oh, Krishna makes good for everything which you're missing. As he says in the Gita, in the 9th chapter, ananyas chintayanto man, ananyas chintayanto man, yena man payupasate, te sham yukta glupu. Not just right there right now, but it means those who fix their mind, there again, ananyas, anya vilashita shunya, without anything else on me, I have them, no problem. So that's the first point, mat bhakto, become a devotee. Let us just quickly analyze. We have now used a picture. We have spoken of the chariot and the highway robbers and the goal. Now we will talk about the same thing with philosophy. What actually has to be done. I think we all are always devotees. We all are devotees, and we want to stay devotees. But say something very analytical, we are at the platform of anishta bhakti, unsteady devotional service. Sometimes we feel like everything is clear, and then we feel like nothing is clear any longer. This is called anishta bhakti, going up and down. So if we want to come to the platform of nishta bhakti, that is steady devotional service, what do we have to overcome? Mm-hmm. Yes, we have to overcome the anattas, the undesirable habits and things. Now there are four kinds of anattas. One anatta comes from previous sinful life. For instance, someone might have broken all the principles before he came to Krishna consciousness very openly and often. And it will be difficult when he joins Krishna consciousness because it's so much in his blood, so to say. Then another anatta is which comes from previous piety. You know, when you were a very pious person, and then you might not go on Sankirtan and tell to the people, we have the cheapest book in the universe, because you know it's cheapest, not really the word, a book which is, it costs so much in the shops, but today we have a very cheap price only for you. You won't be able to say this because you think I should never even come close to a different description of the truth, you know. So there are certain things. This is an anatta. Then comes anattas from imperfectly performed devotional service. Like, for instance, you might make service, but you only do it to get some fame and name. There's a little boy who did so well, everyone thought he is the best devotee, but then one day he wrote a letter saying, I want to stay with a woman, you know, 14-year-old boy, I want to look TV and do all these things which I couldn't do when I was in Krishna consciousness. And you could see something was wrong in his execution of devotional service. He has not done it to please Krishna, but maybe it had not come out of his soul, but had not come from deep inside to serve Krishna, but just to get some that others say, you are such a good boy, perform your service imperfect like this, you will lose it, leave it after some time, because it didn't really come from yourself. You just did it to get some. You didn't recognition. That's one thing. Pratishtha. If one doesn't avoid pratishtha, then it's difficult to advance. Raghunath Das Goswami said the desire, to perform service with the desire for pratishtha is just like, laying yourself under the ass who begins to urinate on you. You might think it's very nice, wet, nice wet, but as urine is really smelly and it's acidic, sehr säurehaltig, it burns the skin, really. So he says, my dear mind, why do you cheat yourself and myself too by constantly, burning under the trickling ass urine? The urine doesn't come just with the S, but it comes ping, 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 and So in the same way, this desire for recognition is never stopping, ping, ping, it comes, I must be recognized here and there and everywhere. And he says, why don't you bathe in the glistening nectarine ocean of Gandharvika Giridhari's devotional service. This is preaching this contrast, such a contrasting thing. You know, first comes this very, very far out example, you know, and then comes the nectarine ocean of love of God. He said, why are you so foolish and why do you prefer the S urine to the, that is the desire for recognition, to the ocean? He's preaching to the ocean of nectar. He's preaching like this to his mind. So anatta is coming from there, and then the fourth thing is anatta is coming from offenses. This is a fourth cause of anatta. So a devotee has to overcome these four types of anattas, and finally and take shelter in the nine positive acts of devotional service. You know, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, and so on and so forth. This is the life of a devotee. This is a real devotee who reaches success. So that's Mat Bhakto, become my devotee. He also wanted to say, talk about worship me and offer your obeisances, but I guess it becomes one lecture for each point. This is what we can have to do in our lives. Now, Krishna is very, very, very satisfied if a devotee only tries a little bit. As we were saying a little while ago, sometimes when devotees hear such a lecture, they become, which is not just eat prasadam and chant and dance, you know, they become very thoughtful. This is desired. And sometimes devotees become despondent, but zweifelt. They say, oh, where am I if I measure, if I take on this standard? Then I'm not even coming close to a devotee. They begin to say like this. But both reactions, this last reaction is not truthful, or is not realistic. Krishna consciousness is an easy process, but only if it is applied. It was once, Prabhupada once gave a very, very nice example, posing himself like a conditioned soul. And I want to close with this example, which is very, very hopeful. Prabhupada was once asked, are you happy? By a journalist. May I ask you this question? Nishinga Bapu Prabhu. Are you happy? Yes. Why? There's politics in Croatia. That's very distressing. War, Croatians against the Serbians, and maybe something else also. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Are you happy? I'm asking myself often this question. I must tell you, if someone would ask me this question now, I'm suffering like anything in this state of my life, but I'm also happy. So, is this schizophrenic or what? This would be... it's a good question, isn't it? Madhu, Mangal, are you happy? Right now, yes. Prasadam was good, festival was good, slideshow went all right. And so many positive signs are on the horizon. So... please listen to Prabhupada's answer. And this answer gets a... Prabhupada said, yes. Just like in my practical life, he said, he was in Los Angeles, and he was interviewed in Los Angeles in the airport. I am happy because I know soon I will be in London. I have my ticket. It's a valid ticket for a valid airline. Don't know what airline. This was not it. He didn't say it. So I may not be now in London, but I have the assurance that I will be in London. The ticket and the airline is not on strike. It always works, and so on and so forth. Please think about this example. In this example, the Prabhupada posed himself like an ordinary man. You know the preaching. He made this very, very nice point that you may not have reached the goal as of yet, but you know there is a process which will bring you to the goal for sure, and this can make you happy. You're almost there. Like Prabhupada said after one initiation lecture, now there is only 1 meter to the door of perfection. Just go this meter. So this is actually, when you hear this type of lecture, you know, where the icy storm comes and you feel, I'm not anyabhilashita shunyam, am I not a devotee? And the lecture started with the question, have you ever thought of becoming a devotee? Recently, this is impossible, you know, and so on and so forth. And this is not that you become despondent. It is just this kind of talk in the scriptures where we hear the highest standard, where we are encouraged, where we hear about anathas, and where we feel, it talks right about me. Where we hear that there is unsteady devotional service and steady devotional service and so on. Where we hear all this, it's not meant that we run out of the class and say, I don't want to hear this. I hear the lecturer who says, eat prasadam and become happy. We have a process, and anyone who just tries to stay in the process, he will be saved. Even if you stay in the process and you don't reach the perfection, like if you die in the midst of flying to London, for instance, Krishna will make up for this because you are properly situated. Krishna is explaining this in the Bhagavad Gita by saying, my devotee, he may be, Now I'm not just telling the verse. Bhakti Baba Maharaj, can you help me? Das ist dieser Vers, wo uns sagt, weil er richtig situiert ist, deswegen ist er als Heiliger anzusehen. Ja, genau, der ist das. Apichat Sutana Chatur. Bhajate man ananya bhag. Sadhu eva samantavya samyak vyavasito sisa. Even if he is the greatest of sinner, then if he is just on the proper path, Vyavasita means situated, he is to be considered a saint. Krishna thinks he is a saint. You are in the proper airline. Have you noticed this? You're sitting there, the umski is, the mind is going everywhere, and not concentrated at all, and so on and so forth. Just stay with the process, but that you have to do. You're not doing this, we are nowhere. Nowhere. We are not the shadow. This is why the Vaishnavas, you will find sometimes how they lament in extreme humility. I'm not even the shadow of a Vaishnav. Great Vaishnava. If you look at me, Krishna, you will find no good qualification. I was asking my godbrothers last, Gurmandal Parikrama, is it that they really feel like this, or you know, maybe they just say it so that we can identify with it, you know, and we don't become so shocked, maybe it's a trick. And they said, no, you don't understand, Sachinandan. They feel like this, these great devotees, because we do not have any good quality. I mean, they have all the good qualifications, but they feel, they see, we don't have good qualifications. The qualification is, I am in the process. I have my spiritual master, and I'm following him. I'm trying to follow him, but the rest you can throw away. The rest is not good. This is how a Vaishnav thinks. And by this humility, he is passing through the entrance door of the kingdom of God. This is required. So we can be happy that we are in the right process, and we can be miserable that we are so fallen. That it doesn't harm to feel a little miserable. It is purification. This misery, this roya, repentance, is important. If we don't have repentance, if the fire of repentance doesn't burn, the dirt will never be consumed. So, this is the end. Do you have any questions? I have to switch the mood now, then I don't talk so heavy all the time. One moment, I just need to switch my mood, and I will answer from a different mood. No? If you see that you are making some advancement, you can see that the process works. There is a verse about this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, chapter 2, verse number around 40. It says, someone who, just like someone who starts to eat, becomes satisfied, satiated, and doesn't have any hunger any longer, the devotee will make a direct will get bhakti, a direct experience of Krishna, and the cessation of material desires. Did you follow? When you eat, these symptoms come, and when you do devotional service, also bhakti and experience of Krishna and the detachment from matter comes. This, there. When you see that something is happening, for instance, you may genuinely say, well, I'm no longer so attached to certain things. You can see the process works. You're already flying out of the airport of Los Angeles. The airline works. And you should take great satisfaction that it works. Also, when we practice Krishna consciousness, we will experience two things. Auspicious circumstances come, and you will develop actually qualities just like you said. There are 12. The Shubhada means 12 auspicious qualities. One is forgiveness, for instance. You will forgive someone else's wrongdoing. Like this. So it's good. See, it works, Jochen, isn't it? You're flying high in the sky. Susanna. Yes. Yeah. 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 Well, there's a story in the Mahabharata which I think makes it clear. Let me repeat it for the tape listening world. It is described when anatta, there are four types of anatta, and one is coming from past pious activities. Now, I really don't think you were extremely pious in your life before Krishna consciousness. But you gave an example how it is difficult sometimes. And you wanted to know how, where to draw the line, because we also must be truthful. We are, you know, we have to develop the brahminical qualities. The example which tells us where to draw the line is in Mahabharata. You know, this is very nice. You will like this very much. This is extremely nice. How to make it short? Yes, it was known that Dronacharya, who fought on the side of the Kauravas against the Pandavas, could only be killed if he would hear that his son Ashwatthama had died. Now, if you study the Mahabharata war, not study, if you hear about it, you will see that they always change commanders-in-chief. Now, on one day, the battle lasted 18 days, but on one day, I forgot which day, Dronacharya was the commander-in-chief, and he was so good as a warrior that he decimated the army of the Pandavas. And if he would have continued on that day, he would kill all the Pandava army. So Krishna said to Yudhishthira, we have to stop Dronacharya. I mean, the war will be finished today. Dronacharya is so mutant, so angry, and no one can stop him. He just went through, you know, one Akshahini alive. Dronacharya, just went through, just killed the whole Akshahini. He was just so wild on that day. So, you have to say, Yudhishthira, Ashwatthama is dead, because he will only believe it if you say it. Then he will feel so sad, and then Drishtadyumna, who is born from the fire, will come and behead him. Said Yudhishthira, who had never spoken a lie in his life, never, ever a half-truth. He couldn't do it. Then Bhima said, you know, who has no such problems, Ashwatthama is dead! And looked at Dronacharya. And Dronacharya, he can shout very loud. Dronacharya just turned around and said, who said it? Bhima. And he went on and killed, caused another ocean of blood. Krishna looked at Yudhishthira. See, I told you. He will only believe it if you say it. So, what we can do is, that we have an elephant called Ashwatthama. Bhima just killed it. Bhima took his club and made boom, and the elephant went, yeah, and died. So, Mr. Moralistic, Krishna didn't use this, but then Yudhishthira said, Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead. You know, he said it with great pain. Now, when he said the elephant, Krishna took his panchajanya conchal and went, and so what Dronacharya heard was Yudhishthira shouting, Ashwatthama is dead. Who said it? No one wanted to say. Who said it? I asked. No answer came from this man because they knew. Who said it that Ashwatthama, my son, he had heard a little bit voice of Yudhishthira, is dead. And then Dronacharya gave the answer. It was Yudhishthira. And he jumped off the chariot, he sat down, meditation, soul left the body, and then Drishtadyumna came and beheaded his head. He fell on the ground. And that was the end. So, there are different commentators to this. The non-devotee commentators say, wait a minute. At that moment, Yudhishthira's chariot touched the earth for the first time. Otherwise, because he was so pious, he had some shakti. It would never touch, you know, some pious shakti. It wouldn't touch the earth. It touched the earth. So the non-devotees commentators say that this is because Yudhishthira was implicated in a lash, in a lie. But the Vaishnava commentators don't agree. The Vaishnava commentators say, no, this touching of the earth happened because Yudhishthira did not surrender to Krishna. And of the explanations, the Vaishnava explanation is accepted as the true, because surrender to Krishna is a foremost principle of dharma. It is the sanatan dharma. Or the other types of dharma, kshatriya dharma, to not, you know, say the truth on the battlefield, you know, that is secondary only. So sometimes in this world, which is a world of non-morality, which is a world of separation from God, which is a prison house for the soul, there will be situations where you have to even give up morality. I know this is difficult to take for the Swiss mentality, because that is a new, very new concept. That's a difficult subject which I have discussed in a seminar called Preaching is the Essence in Radha Desh. I have dedicated about 15 minutes to this with quotes from Prabhupada. If you want to listen to it, it is I think the last tape, but you might like to listen to all of the tapes and so on. Now I really have to balance this statement. You cannot become a devotee if you are acting in the lower modes of ignorance and passion and committing things like immoral acts. That is not possible. We have to rise if we want to do devotional service to the platform of a pure goodness. That is, I think, understood. There may be a situation where you, like in a war, where you may... Prabhupada gave the example, in the war, sometimes these moralities are just not there. You know, it's a different situation. The fight is there. When you fight, Susanna, have you ever fought? No. A little bit, maybe. When one fights, You don't become very moralistic. You just go, when it's a matter of life and death, you just go and, you know, you just think, you know, where do I... You don't think of morality at that moment. Think of something else. You don't want to... Not so nice advice. There are higher principles than even mundane morality. That is surrender to Krishna. Du musst immer so künstlich sehen. How to speak a sincere prayer, which is not artificial. In the Gajendra Moksha Lila, in the 8th canto, it says that Gajendra prayed by fixing his mind. The word he uses is the word which is used, samadhi. He concentrated his mind. So we want to preach. So not to preach, to pray. We need to focus our mind on this. Now, if we don't feel for it, we won't be able to focus our mind. That's what you experience. You say the prayers, but you can't really identify with the prayers. Then I would just pray to Krishna, please be so kind to bless me that I can pray sincerely. Krishna is not so much impressed by empty words. I mean, isn't it there? Some sincerity is in you. I mean, not only some, but there is sincerity in you, because otherwise you wouldn't be disturbed that you are not sincere. Isn't it? You would say, I'm not sincere. That's no problem. If you would be an insincere person, you would say, I'm not sincere. No, no problem. I mean, sincerity. Mm-hmm. Let's be liberal and modern, you know. Why this? Pray. But you are disturbed. I can't fix my mind. I can't identify on this. So something must happen. That's already a sincere prayer. Something must happen. Not so bad. But I agree. We should, if we want to pray, we must fix our mind on this. Then Krishna hears the prayer. A certain intensity. Those who have children, they know. The children will squeak and squawk about everything. Isn't it, Lila Sugar? Party, party, you know, and then you can still go on with your activity. But when they go like, party, you know, then you know, oh, I have to come there. Isn't it? There's a certain intensity. If they fix their mind on it, you know, there are two types, or maybe there are about 500 types of screams, you know, the pleasure of the Grihastha ashram. But, you know, there is also sometimes children, you can see, they complain in a very distracted way, and then you go like, ooh, look here, and they look there, and then they forget all about screaming. They become highly, ooh, they want to have it, and they get into the next phase of... when you the parent only hears when it has a certain intensity, then he knows, okay, I can't go you know, and make some sound or so, but oh yeah, and, you know, just pacify the so this is what you Krishna hears also in the same way. When is Bhakti Indushka going, Krishna, please help me? Then is she meaning it? Same thing. But if you stand like this before the altar and you pray, then you might go like, ooh, how does this brahmachari look? Ooh, and, you know, and so on. Or, you know, why this? How does a new string on the bell look? And so on. Then you will not the same. When does a devotee learn to accept the favorable things for devotional service and reject the unfavorable? When, at which time will I surrender, in other words? Well, in the Sanskrit mantras, there is a word namaha. Maha means my or ego, and na means no. Like Bhakti Vaibhava Swami taught about a devotee who goes to his danda, boom, and says no yesterday. This is when it starts, you know, when we say no to the Lajanan ego, false ego, and then we start to surrender. When this will come, either in 1 minute or after 1 year, or not after millions of lifetimes. It depends on you, Ishwari. And Prabhupada says, it depends on understanding and accepting. You have to understand our situation, and then we have to accept it. That's very difficult sometimes. Sorry, it's a simple answer. But it's going along, you're not doing bad. You're on the right airline. The airline of surrender. Good. Any other questions? No, so we have come to the end. Yes, it's also 9:30. Thank you very much. If I have said something which was very heavy and hurt you, please forgive me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaura Nitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.